So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome back to Wellness Wednesdays. I am your host, Eric Collard. This week, another special guest recording this in a national capital region. My guest this week, Mr. Noel Payne. Welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here.
We actually just went for a lovely spring run. Although we were surrounded by a lot of snow, we got hammered this week with some snow. But hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel for all the runners and outdoor enthusiasts. It was a gorgeous afternoon. It's nice to be able to catch up and chit-chat through them running through the neighborhood.
Exactly. No, it's officially spring. There's still some snow on the ground, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to run in shorts while we're while there's snow around. It's a different kind of feeling.
Yes, you had the shorts out. Yeah. I'm still the tights. Yeah. I'm that guy that waits till like May before I feel comfortable putting the shorts on. So,
hey, but whatever works, whatever gets you out the door, right?
So, you got it.
Yeah. So Noel, for those who don't know, is has been a runner for a long time. You'll tell us exactly how long. He's a running ambassador. He's a brand ambassador. He runs all over the country. So it'll be really interesting. And we'll talk a little bit about his crazy run that he did this summer, and then another crazy run that's happening that's coming up fairly soon that we chat about during a run. So tell us a little bit about your history of how do you get into running. And I mean, it's been a while. I'm not going to mention names, but it's been, I know, because for as long as you've known you, and you've been running for way before. So,
yeah, no, I think it feels like I've been running forever. When I was younger, when you're young, you've been running for a few years. But at the age of 42, I look back and realize that I've been running for pretty much three quarters of my life. I've been running for almost 30 years now. I started running around the house with my father's Timex watch, watching Wild World of Sports on TV. And I got that Timex watch, and I don't know, there was something about the running. I didn't want to play baseball. I didn't want to play football, but I saw the triathlons or the track and field on television. And that's what drew me in. And I remember putting that watch on and just doing laps around the house. And for some reason, I found that fun. And it just went from there. And I just kept running.
Yeah. And then it's funny because, yeah, everyone's got their own story about running. That's one of the cool things, I think, about running. How did you get into some of the longer distances? And can you tell people kind of – because I know you've done like 100 meters and then 100 milers and kind of everything in between. So
yeah, over 30 years. I mean, I think I had – I like how I went about things because I sort of never stopped running. But when I was young, those school track and field days, I basically tried everything. You ran the 100, the 200, the 4, the 8, the 15, did long jump, through javelin, through the shot put, and then quickly learned what I was not good at or what I had the inclination for. And I liked running fast, but I wasn't the fastest sprinter. But the middle distance events for me, I loved them, the 800 meters and the 1500 meters. I was that big, tall, skinny kid that did fairly well. And I think I actually liked to run more than I did to race. And then as I sort of got older, sort of in my teens, started sort of clipping those races. This is old school for those folks. It wasn't on the internet. I had to go to the newspaper to find out what the race schedule was. So it's making me sound a little bit old. But in the olden days, all the races, they had the race series in the newspaper. And they would actually, too. I think this is still cool. I really appreciate when I was a kid. And even until probably the almost 20s. A lot of the races, when you did a race, they would publish all the race results in the newspaper. So not like the top three. Sometimes they would do like in the top three, top 10, but a lot of times the races would publish everyone's results in the newspaper. I love that. I'd go through and see over these times and how I compared. So I started running, 5K and 10Ks at a relatively young age. At age of 12, 13, I'd do 5 and 10K races. Continued to race in university, and never really got anything longer for quite a long time. You know, track races and 10Ks, but it wasn't until after my first real marathon, age 30 maybe, I decided I had run long enough and the marathon was looming.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge. I ran my first marathon by accident. It's a story unto itself. Yeah. But it's supposed to be a 20-mile training run. It turned into a marathon when my friends wouldn't pick me up and drive me the rest of the way. they forced me to run it. And on that first race, I actually qualified for the Boston Marathon. And that was an experience. I must say, anybody who gets a chance to run Boston, do it. But it was after doing the Boston Marathon, the week after, it was a cool experience. I wasn't happy with the race itself. To kind of clear my head, I just went for a long training run. And I got to the 30K mark and said, well, I'm just going to keep running. And I had one of those days where I had nothing else on the schedule. I was just running. And I hit 40K. And I just said, well, I'm just going to go run another 10.
Yeah.
And I ran 50K that day, week after Boston. And I went, oh, well, there was no magical wall or barrier. You know, it was only another, 8K farther than a marathon. And nowadays, I don't even really consider that an ultra. I think I have to sort of go well beyond the marathon to call it ultra. But that was the day where I realized that, oh, I can do more. This is interesting. That's a new challenge.
It's funny how it's mostly mental, right? Like,
it is.
I mean, and for some people at home, they're like, these guys are ridiculous running 5K is long. And it's all relative. Like, I remember when I first ran my first 5K, it was long. And then I remember running my first marathon. I thought that was fairly long. But now, I mean, I don't race all that much. And I just run for fun, but I can still go out and do a marathon if need be. But, and people are like, you do that for fun? It's like, yeah, but it's all what you're, and there's some people who can knit for 6 hours and I'd be like, my hands would fall off probably. Like it's all what you're used to, right? But it's so funny how running, maybe more so than other things, and it is very mental.
It is. I especially think for the marathon and beyond, I think people who've run a marathon, half the battle is about making it physically to the finish line. But during those 42K or 26 miles, you battle as much with your mind as anything else.
It's a roller coaster.
It is a roller coaster, and especially that marathon because I don't race anything beyond the marathon distance. After the marathon, I run. Yeah. If I run well, so be it. But the marathon is one of those distances where you can still push yourself hard. You're thinking about your pace. It's really intense. But I think any race out there, you're battling not only the ground and yourself physically, but it's the demons, the doubts, the thoughts that go through your head. Yeah, it's definitely a mental game. Yeah.
Speaking of mental, you are also the person that just decided, hey, you know what? I'm celebrating another birthday. Let's go and do a longer run. Can you tell us about? I don't even know how to preface this because it's like it's such a mental thing. But tell us of what you did in the fall. So.
Sure. Well, I think I have to go back to the fact that once I did my marathon and decided that I can do more than that, it sort of snowballed. So I did a few ultras after that, but. This past fall is due to the fact that when I turned 40, I decided to run from Kingston to Ottawa. I'm that guy that once he gets an idea in his head, it's hard to get out. And I was told that, oh, you have the day. Why don't you go do something for the day or for your birthday or for your 40th? I wasn't going to do anything. It's just 40 years old. No big deal. But once I got into my head that I should do something or that I could, I decided I wanted to try and do the Rideau Trail, which runs from Kingston to Ottawa. And if you follow it straight, it's not that long. Well, relatively. but if you take...
Can you tell people how long it is?
A friend and I, we did just under 260 kilometers in 2.5 days.
Not so, that long.
If you drive, it doesn't seem that long. Yeah. But if you go through the woods and follow the trails and the goat paths and dirt roads. Yeah. It's a long road. So I'd push myself. So this past fall, I started the tradition now of sort of on my birthday doing something mildly insane, at least by most people's standards. For me, it's starting to be normal. This past fall, to do something again, and more is kind of this year was kind of just to contemplate sort of life. I'm now sort of a single running dad, so the arrival of my daughter was amazing, but it put some stresses on the marriage and myself. So long and short of that is that I'm a single dad now. So life has changed. Still see my daughter and everything else, and then on good terms with my other half, but we're not together. So this past fall, it was another birthday. It was an opportunity to look at my life, sort of where things were, to look at things, and I found another trail. I always find something to do. I found another trail, and it's the Russell Prescott Trail, which runs from just outside Ottawa, basically almost just to the Quebec border, basically. It sort of ends in Rigaud, Quebec. And that was
the metropolis of Rigaud.
The metropolis of Rigaud, which I only saw in the early, early morning hours. So I never actually saw it. So that was an interesting one. It was a Greyhound bus ride in the middle of the night. Arrived in Rigaud, Quebec at 2 o'clock in the morning. Got dropped off outside of Tim Hortons. I'd never seen this town before in my life. And all I knew was that I could get onto the trail somewhere close by. So I had my GPS, I had my map. 2 o'clock in the morning, some town I'd never seen in my entire life.
It's fairly dark, I assume.
It was pitch black.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of houses around. And the trail actually didn't even officially start there. But there was an old rail, the trail type of thing. So I knew somebody had told me the trail was there. Wasn't maintained, but I could get on it. And I think I had another 20 kilometers before the actual official trail started. So all I remember was 2 o'clock in the morning, going down this side street, finding where this railroad would have crossed, put the headlamp on, and just started running. So yeah, that was my birthday run this past fall. It was a very cool experience.
Can you tell me a bit more about where it ended, how long it took, all the stuff? Not all the thoughts that went through your mind, because we'll be here for a day.
We'll be here for a long time.
But just kind of like some highlights and lowlights.
It was a really amazing run. Actually, it was good fun. Every one of these crazy runs I've had have been neat. I don't mind spending sort of 10, 12 hours in my own mind, which is nobody else should have to experience that. for me, I've gotten used to it. But yeah, it was a neat. I had contacted the towns along the trail that actually maintain it, and said, "Hey, look, I'm gonna do this run. I'm gonna do it on the trail. So I'd love to at least promote it as I go along. And it'd be really neat. I don't think a lot of people know about it." And I found out from them actually that they're in the midst of negotiating how they're gonna maintain this trail, because it's really an amazing little trail. It runs right into Ottawa. And it goes through these little tiny sort of quiet sort of, most of them are actually sort of Francophone or sort of Franco-Ontarian towns as you come into Ottawa. And they've got little pavilions, they've got maps. Every half kilometer of this trail is actually marked.
Wow.
Which is great and bad, depending on how you look at it, so that you know exactly how far you have to go or how far you've come. So yeah, it was good and bad. But yeah, the trail was amazing. So I said, well, cool. Well, this is a great opportunity to promote this trail that you've got here. And I also raised some money for cancer at the same time, which is what I did on that crazy, started doing that crazy Kingston to Ottawa run. So for me, it's just, I don't have a personal connection, but cancer touches so many people. So for me, it's a good cause. I want it to be just a personal run, but as soon as you start raising money, you gotta publicize it a little bit. So the run started at 2 o'clock in the morning, headlamp on, and then the next half hour was on some muddy, slippery ATV trail that ran parallel to the trail, took me 30 minutes to realize that this was the wrong trail. Yeah, yeah. So then I then bushwhacked at 2:30 in the morning, yeah, you know, like a right-hand angle, right? Into the woods, over stumps and brush, and then finally found the real trail. And then it just sort of wound its way behind farms. Yeah. Just this kind of muddy dirt track behind farms, and didn't hear anything. So just kind of pitch black with my headlamp and listening to some CBC podcasts.
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat experience. Yeah. You just kind of had your own thoughts. It's quiet. Ran to the first town like 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was a neat experience. And the neat part was I was expecting me like not really see anybody. I told them about it and they said, well, what do you need? And I said, well, you know, you want to drop off some water or something along the trail or that. I didn't know when I was going to hit each checkpoint. I didn't want people waiting. So I said, you know, some food or some water, just want to drop it off or whatever. That's super cool.
Yeah.
I was carrying everything on my back. I had, you know, extra gear and food and anything I would need because it's October too. It was starting to get chilly.
Yeah.
So I had all my options. But yeah, I think there was, I'm trying to think how many people I met along that trail. It would have been like four or five groups of people and really cool people. There was the Van Leek Hill newspaper came out at like one of the first pavilions, and they're taking pictures, and they had like this huge amount of food, which I felt really bad because I was like, that's going to weigh a ton in my bag. So I was trying to like be polite, and I took some food along with me, ate some there, and then
Make it into the Van Leek Hill paper?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, you're famous.
On the website. So I was famous for a week or so.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was the news.
Yeah.
But they were great people. I think that was the takeaway from it. It was my run, but it was meeting these people that was really cool. It took their time to come out. Because I met a couple other people that came out to these sort of spots in the trail that crossed a road or something like that. And they would stand there and they had like bananas and water. Yeah. They didn't know me from a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And we'd chat for a couple of minutes and I'd keep going. And
just for them to get a couple minutes with the great Noel Payne.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It would be the highlight of their year, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
the sweaty, smelly guy at that point. Somebody brought me a hot chocolate, and then the one, I don't even know who they were. They were super cool. And if they ever hear this, it'd be cool. I'd love to thank them. I got to one pavilion, and it's a nice little wooden pavilion covered. And there was balloons tied to it. And a birthday card in an envelope.
Oh, wow.
And a little box with this like really nice cupcake with a candle in it. And bananas and oranges and water. They weren't there. They just... they wanted to leave something, and that was super, super cool.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, what I thought was going to be a super long 100K run ended up being just a really, really cool experience.
Yeah. So what time did you – so you start around 2 a.m.?
Start around 2 a.m.
What time were you done?
I'm trying to think. It was finished up
– you probably don't remember because you were so
– well, I'm trying to think. It was early evening. Like it wasn't just over 12 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, just over 12 hours. So in like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, basically finished up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super cool run.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I like that concept because it's something that anyone can do. I mean, not that anyone can run 100K because I'm not saying go run 100K tomorrow, but there are a lot of, we're lucky in North America, especially there's a lot of cool ultras. But a lot of people are like, well, ultras are really expensive or races are really expensive. But sometimes it's just going outside of your comfort zone. Like you go up to Gatineau Park in the morning or any park or any trail and you're just like, hey, listen, I'm going to go for 2 hours. If your previous best was an hour and a half, listen, I'm going to go for 2 hours. Or if your previous best was 3 hours, you go for 4 hours or something. So it's – and I mean obviously because you're a bit of a media whore, you went and did all this publicity. But it's just a matter of going out there and trying to – and for you, and I'm the same way. I obviously don't do distances you do. But just to get out there and enjoy nature, enjoy a different – look and feel. Like, obviously this trail probably looked different than the trail that you did from Kingston. Similar, but you know, it's always nice to get into new places.
I think that's one of the main things I like. I like seeing stuff. I think why I like doing trail ultras as well, because it's quiet. You're out there, and even when I do trail ultras in terms of races as well, I often like the ones that are less crowded. Yeah. I like where if there's people around me the whole time, I actually enjoy it less.
Yeah.
I like kind of just being out there. Yeah.
So what was your training like then? What's your training like now?
Sure. Yeah.
Because it seems like you're always running. Whenever I see you on social media, I see you in the streets and you're running with your backpack. So
yeah, I tend to be running everywhere, but I had some downtime over for Christmas. But yeah, my birthday ultra was just at the sort of the end of marathon training season. I had a marathon in October that the marathon beast I have not conquered. We have a hate-love relationship going on.
Yeah.
We have.
It's complicated.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
She's a tough mistress.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's just say the marathon in October didn't go to plan.
Yeah.
I was leading the marathon in Vermont at the halfway point. And then I just basically imploded. I finished, but it
wasn't pretty.
It wasn't pretty. Yeah. It was definitely not pretty. I got her done, but as opposed to winning the race, I was back with the folks, which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
The goal wasn't necessarily to go down and win, but I had a pace and a time. I wanted to push myself, but it didn't happen.
You really have to respect the marathon.
It's a tough one.
Everyone's different, even though it's the same distance, and it could be a similar course. I mean, and I've only run a few, but every single time has been totally different.
It is. It's that one race to where the distance is long enough. You're still pushing yourself hard. But with 26 miles, so much can happen. You've got weather, your guts, what you're ingesting. Did you go too hard? Are you too tight? All these things. So
prize money. That's usually what gets me.
It's the prize money.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I.
What I want to eat after.
God, yeah. That's what you think about the last 5K.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's chocolate milk and donuts.
Yeah.
But so I came off that marathon. I did the birthday run. And then I figured it was time to take some downtime. Yeah.
So what does downtime mean for you for weekly mileage?
I almost went to nothing for a while. I had as I've talked about in my blogs and stuff like that on Twitter, after sort of I had my personal change and sort of become a single running dad, I had a little bit of depression.
Yeah.
It was tough. Got to some low points where I just didn't even want to go for a run. It happened to coincide with the time that I was taking some downtime, and as opposed to downtime, it became, no running time for a while.
Which is probably unheard of for you.
I don't do it very often unless I'm injured. And it would have been good maybe to go for a few runs, but I wasn't in that mind space. And it actually was it's been a battle to come back. To get back on the wagon and to get positive. Yeah, the running has helped. Yeah, anybody who's done it, running is not the be-all, end-all solution for mental health, but it really helps. It kind of kick-starts things. You get out of the house, you get out of the apartment.
The blood flow.
Yeah, blood flow. Yeah. The endorphins go. So it really helps.
It's hard not to feel better after a run.
I mean, it is.
And it's not, you're right. It's not going to cure everything, but at least you're like, that was pretty fun.
Exactly. Yeah. It puts things in perspective.
Especially for me, it's the social stuff. Like, that's why running today was fun. It's because we can chat.
Yep.
You're thinking, you forget about your day to day. You're like, hey, we're just out getting some sun and just enjoying nature. So
exactly. So it's once again kickstarted me. So I'm back. I'm running. I'm training now. This past couple of weeks have been probably the best weeks I've had for a while.
And so in terms of mileage, what kind of mileage?
This week I think I would have gotten, by the time we get a long run in tomorrow, I'm hoping 100, 115K this week.
That's most people's monthly mileage.
it's all relative, yeah, right? You know, yeah. Some people do 160K.
Yeah.
Some people do 50.
Yeah.
I like to run a lot. It makes me feel good. I've got a little bit of a pressure of a 100 miler coming up in June that I guess I should probably train for.
Yeah.
I've done 100K races, and I've done, you know, a good chunk of distance in a couple days, but this will be the first 100 miler. And won't be flat. It's in the Gaspé area, Quebec. So I hear they have small hills up that area.
Yeah.
So.
It's funny you say that, because if you would have told me 3 years ago, I'd be like, oh, yeah. But now that I just did 2 years in a row, I did the Raid de la Gaspésie, and it's like, I went and visited when I was a kid because I grew up in Quebec. I don't remember being this hilly. It was ridiculous, some of the stuff. And so I can guarantee you that, yes, there will be more than small hills. So tell us more about this race. Like, obviously, it's 100 miles, but what are you doing to prepare? What are you looking forward to?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm the ambassador for Ottawa Marathon. So I'm going to do the half in May, which is another great race in Canada's capital. So it'll be cool this year to go out. And I think I may even just going to run that. If I could hook up with somebody and just run it, that would be fun. So that'll be kind of a preparation. But I'm just basically going to start cranking in some more miles, doing some uber long runs when I don't have my daughter. The weekends I have my daughter will be my down weekends.
Yeah.
I sneak out for a run when I can.
Yeah. I'm looking at your chariot. Maybe you can. It's totally different though.
Yeah. Well, and she's 2 years old now. So when she was really young, she would fall asleep. Now she tells daddy if she doesn't want to be in the stroller, so it's harder. So I'm cranking that out, running when I can. And it's the Gaspésie 100. It's an endurance weekend. It's kind of a really cool race. The organizers have not only put together sort of ultra-distance running events, but there's mountain bike endurance event that weekend as well. So there's multiple distances for running, multiple distances for mountain biking. It's in Quebec. It's going to be an amazing place. I've never been there. I've only seen the photos.
Yeah.
And it looks like an amazing place.
Yeah, Percé is where, if I'm not mistaken, is where they have the hole in the rock.
It's going to get that little sort of weird island off the shore there.
Yeah.
So and that's what I like. Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to run 100 miles, and this is, look, if and I don't mean to insult anybody, but if you go do ultra races and you run like, you know, 400 laps and you love it, that's great. But for me, if I'm going to run that far, I want to see stuff.
Yeah.
I want to go run across the cliffs, the mountains, up and down, and see things and different things, not loops. That's just the way I function. For me, it's a bit of an adventure. So that one should be really cool. But I figure I get a little bit of pressure. I should probably get – I did 35K the other day pretty comfortably. But I think I got to get up to that set of be able to go for a long run, do somewhere between 50 and 70K and not really die.
So. As I was just about to say, I'm not a math major, but I think 35 and 160 or 100 miles, whatever you want to look at.
There's a small gap
there. Small gap, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you've been running for so long, can you give like some tips for people that are just getting into it?
Sure.
I'm lucky I get to coach a lot of the newbies and some established people, but I always love to hear – especially people that have been there and you've done kind of almost it all. So what are some, if I came to you and I said, Noel, I'm just getting into running, like, what would you say? Like, well, look out for this or look out for that.
Running or running ultras?
I think just running in general.
Just running in general, I think.
I think it's a wider audience.
It is a wider audience. The ultra ones are a little bit, different bag of hammers. Getting into running, I think is, I've talked to a lot of people with this over the years, but getting into running, I think, depends on where you're coming from. Most people that talk to me about running, the first question I say is, okay, well, what are you doing now in general? Because a lot of people will go from zero to running. I like to say, well, are you walking? Do you need to walk? Because I think a good part of any sort of running program should be just getting up and being more active in general so that you're allowing your body to get used to more of a workload. You don't have to run every day, but there's so many beginner programs out there that'll sort of work you up to more and more time. I think you should run probably 3 to 4 times a week at the minimum, That way, there's no huge gaps between your last run. That way, it doesn't feel like you're starting anew every time you go for a run. Three is tough because there's four other days where you haven't run.
Yeah.
So when you go for that next run, depending where those three runs were, it feels hard every time. Four, at minimum, feels like you're running most of the week. And getting out and active and doing some walking beforehand and during is an easy way to build up. But yeah, if you're not doing anything now, start walking, getting active, just to build that base up. Get it there and do something. And then you'll see all the beginner programs, but the general idea is that you throw in some running. So if you go for a walk, throw in some running. When you're tired, walk. Do the running again. And you build it up and you start eliminating the walking periods. And you build up that endurance until you're able to run without a huge amount of effort. It doesn't feel like you're counting off every second on your walk.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my
God. Until yeah. 5 minutes, yeah. 6 minutes.
Yeah.
You'll reach if you get through that first month of a program, whether it's formal or something you just set yourself out, it's usually a month. Give yourself a month to get through that. It's not like a group sport. It's a little bit tougher. Most of the time it's going to be on your own. I encourage people to hook up with like a running group, whether it's the Running Room or Sports 4 here. There's a little group in Ottawa. Get some friends to help motivate you. But yeah, get through that first month. After that, you've gotten over the hump.
Yeah. It's funny too that you mentioned that stuff, because I find that's one of the beauty and the sadness of running is a lot of it is solo. I mean, unless every single time you run with someone, but my personal thing, I run probably 80% of my runs by myself. I do run with a couple of friends from once in a while, and then we'll hook up with like you and some other folks. But and I think that's great, partly because it forces you to go out there. But I think sometimes some people are like, well, I don't have any, like, no one's going to know whether I run or not. But you're right. Like, if you get over that first month or the second month, and you're like, I've been running, like, I went through 20 runs in the last 6 weeks. It's like, well, first of all, pat yourself on the back. Second of all, like, that's pretty cool. Now it just gets easier every single time.
Exactly. No, it is that. And I think it's difficult for people as well, because it's an individual sport. And even if you were listen to music, which often helps a lot of people when they're on their runs, a lot of people aren't used to being with their own thoughts.
Okay.
I think that's it. When you think about it, you're just out there.
Yeah.
You're just running. So it's getting used to sort of all parts of your thoughts, the good and the bad, going through your head, fighting the motivation, all that kind of things. And it gets easier.
Yeah.
It really does. And I think people have been doing it long enough. You go out there for a run, you'll forget how long you're out running, your mind wanders. And that's kind of when you know you've kind of gotten over the hump.
Yeah.
Stop feeling like work every footfall.
And it's funny you mentioned that thought stuff, because I think that's where I'm at, and that's where the beauty of it is. Like, I can actually – I come up with all my best ideas. I figure out life. It's great. But I know when you first start out, you're like, what am I going to think about for 2 hours? And now I'm just like, wow, I get to just think for 2 hours? This is amazing. So, yeah, so it's pretty incredible. I want to be mindful of your time. I'm really enjoying this. One more question before we sign off. It's a question I ask all my guests. And I think you'd be well positioned to answer this. So what does this is Wellness Wednesday's podcast. What does wellness mean to you? Running or not?
At the ripe old age of almost 42, I think wellness is a combination of mental and physical. Especially, I think, I recently read an article, and I wish I could think of where it was from. And it was about the leading, one of the causes of problems for single men. And it was a predictor of kind of how long they would live. And it was actually mental health. And it was the fact it was single men in their later years, the fact that they didn't connect with friends like they used to. So it's the fact that loneliness and mental health was what was actually predicting how long they would live.
Very interesting.
And it was very interesting. It reinforces that as much as you might put on the sneakers and go for a run and you feel healthy, you're putting 50 or 80 or 100 kilometers a weekend and you feel healthy, you're eating plain yogurt and sticks and raisins and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and you're super healthy. Yeah. That's only one side of things. Mental health is really important. And mental health isn't necessarily just about meditating and being positive, but it's also about making sure that you connect with other people. You have friends, you have support, people you can talk to. So yeah, so wellness is a thing that encompasses a lot of things. Your physical health, you know what you're putting in your body, your mind, a whole bunch of things. I don't think there's one easy answer, but it's taking care of yourself and being mindful.
And that's why I love about that question, because everyone comes at it from a different side. You get a lot of cool insights.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time. Where can people, because obviously you're out of all the guests, I think you're probably one of the most active on social media, because you're probably even more active than me. Where can people find you? And I'll link all this in the show notes.
Yeah, but sure. No, well, if you don't bump to me on the street or on the trail running around, yeah, which I'm always doing, I'm on Twitter at Noel Payne, so it's easy because it's my name. So I'm on Twitter. I love connecting with other runners. I am on Instagram at Running Writer. I write for Canadian Running Magazine, A Runner's View. So I usually profile runners of different abilities with interesting stories. So Canadian Running Magazine, you can find me in their blog. And I have my own personal blog. If you just Google Noel Payne, you should bring me up. It's a WordPress blog. And I do reviews and talk about running. So easy enough to find me. Google me. You'll probably bring up one of those.
Yeah, one of the 17 ways that you kind of get out there. Yeah. Again, thanks a lot, Noel. It's been great to run and also catch up and then get you to share some wisdom on the blog.
You've got a great podcast. I like what you're doing. Wellness Wednesday is very cool, and honor to run with you and chat with you.
Thanks. You've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.